You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It is time. They can't beat the Packers. No. Are you crazy?
You're listening to Cheese and Packers, a project powered by the Packernet Podcast Network. I'm your host, JJ Leahy. Follow me on Twitter at JJLAHEY to stay up to date on all things Packers or to submit questions for this podcast. Patreon.com/JJLeahy is where you can support this show, which I work pretty hard at. I appreciate everyone who has been chipping in. I know times are a little bit tight. And I know the Packers are not the most fun in the world to watch right now, so I appreciate your continued passion and support of not only the Packers, but also me and this podcast. Listen, I did it. I solved it. I know what's wrong with the Packers. They do suck. I figured out why. It's not rocket science. It's something we kind of have all known. But man, I've been doing a lot of thinking since the Dallas Cowboys game, where like we got clear, obvious proof that the Packers can play well if they want to. And then we saw what happened against Tennessee, and it wasn't super surprising that they did that against Tennessee. But man, I've been doing so much thinking, and I really have achieved a point of clarity on what's going wrong with the Packers. And so I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the Packers. I'm also going to pitch to you how I think you solve it. Part of this clarity came for me during a conversation that I was fortunate enough to have with Chris Jackie, former Packers kicker, Super Bowl champion from the 90s. He came and did an interview with me and with Gil Martin, my co-host for No Huddle Radio. The full interview with Chris is going to come out on this week's podcast over on No Huddle, and I hope you will go listen to it. But I'm going to play a segment from it here because on the No Huddle Radio podcast, we're not going to do a big deep dive into what Chris said. We're just going to play our conversation with Chris and then get into our game preview. So this podcast is where I kind of want to dive into a expansion of my conversation, or I should say a portion of my conversation with Chris, because I asked Chris a question. I had a suspicion about what I thought was wrong with the team. I asked Chris a question that I thought might lead him in that direction, and he confirmed exactly what was in my head. And it was just this, it was a nice moment for me to finally be able to put away a lot of the distraction about the roster being imperfect, because we know that the roster is imperfect, but every team around the league has an imperfect roster. We all have flaws. I think that, yes, the Packers' flaws with their roster do uniquely feed into some of their greatest weaknesses. But I still think you could overcome that, and they did against the Cowboys, because they cared. Here is a snippet of our conversation with Chris. One thing that you talked about last time you were on the show that really stuck with me was kind of toppling the notion that was built up in my head about how much the coaches factor into the leadership. And you kind of dismissed that and said it really is all about the player leadership. To what extent does the coaching, factor into leadership at all? I mean, certainly, for a lot of us as fans, we look at, Andy Reid or Bill Belichick or Mike Tomlin and the sort of gravitas that they have. And you think that, well, they run a really tight ship. It really stuck with me last time you were on here that you were pretty much poo-pooing any impact that like the special teams coordinator could have on special teams and saying, I don't really care about that. Talk to me about the veteran players who are going to be motivating the guys.
Absolutely. Leadership from a coach, and you brought up Bill Belichick, comes from game planning, knowing your opponents. And I touch on it every week and I dread it. Every time we go into halftime, we have the worst halftime adjustment coaching staff, I think, in the league. It does. And, that's where the coaching leadership comes from. But as far as the players, your coach is more or less your boss in this respect. And that's where you got to look to a Reggie White or Leroy Butler. And those guys have got to hold the players accountable. Like you said, we touched on that last time. So, I don't know how much, even Mike Holmgren and our coaching staff, they knew they had guys in the locker room to hold everyone accountable, even off the field. It was, you didn't do anything stupid off the field either. Because, obviously Green Bay is a city of about 12. You couldn't do anything without all the guys. And you hung out with the guys. So it was, we kept each other accountable. You did that in practice. You did that during the game, at halftime, off the field, et cetera.
Do you think this team misses the leadership of a guy like Za'Darius Smith, who seemed to energize the team when he came in 2019 and seemed – at least to me as an outsider looking in, as someone who did hold his teammates accountable.
Is that Viking guy now? Yeah. I don't know enough of what goes on in everything we're talking about leadership. I could be completely off base. Everything I'm saying, I'm looking from the outside in, and I'm not a player anymore. I'm a fan. So I like to complain like everybody else and come up with conspiracy theories on why they're not playing well. And that's my conspiracy theory, that there's just not leadership. And, the things that players have done, and we pretty much know who they are, what they're doing in the off season, what they're doing. I don't know how much I want to go into that. They don't present themselves very well.
All right, so I recorded the intro of my podcast by myself, and I was not planning on bringing my daughter into the studio as a gimmick or anything, but Mama has to leave, and Baby has to stay here, and she's got, five more minutes? Yeah, about 5 more minutes until our nap. So we're going to hang out here. We'll see if she'll stay quiet while we talk. But listen, I think my daughter even... What, you guys want me to say?
Yeah.
You even know about the leadership issues with this team. Aaron Rodgers is not the kind of leader that many of the great Hall of Fame franchise quarterbacks who consistently dominate year after year, regardless of the situation around them, have been. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning come to mind immediately as the types of leaders. Now, that's fine. I think Aaron Rodgers is a phenomenal quarterback. I think that at times his leadership is fine. When the team is winning, when they're not really facing adversity, he seems like a really fun guy to be around. Certainly there are players on the roster who have been motivated and inspired by him to become great. Davante Adams has talked at length about that. No question about it. But you can't look at this team and the way they play and feel like they have any leadership to them. I think Rashawn Gary tries very hard to be a leader. I think that he is leadership caliber. I think the way that he leads by example with his tremendous work ethic, the locker room speeches that he gives, the sideline motivation where he goes up to these guys. You know, there was a clip. Who was it? Was it Matthew Judon? I'm trying to remember. A couple weeks ago, everybody was sharing it. There were two linemen for the Ravens, and the veteran went over to the young guy and was like, "Dude, do you know who you are? They can't stop you. Go out there and dominate." It reminds me of Derrick Henry having a conversation with Eddie George, one of the all-time greats. And Derrick Henry had this weak, you know, BS start to his career. And Eddie George, former Tennessee Titans legend, is telling him, I don't know what you're doing out there, letting yourself get pushed around. You are so much stronger than all these defenders you're going up against. Punish them. And so these two Ravens linemen were having that same conversation. You know, it's that Charles Woodson elevating guys around you, holding guys to a standard. It's Reggie White in the 90s. Players were afraid of letting Reggie down. They played their butts off because they didn't want to let Reggie down. They didn't want to face him in the locker room and have him come over and say, "You are not doing what it takes. You're not pulling your weight. You are letting us down. You're letting me down." They were terrified of Reggie White in terms of terrified of disappointing him. I conducted an experiment. I tweeted to my very active Packers following, asking them to rank the top five leaders among the Packers' current players. A couple people misunderstood the question and thought it was like, you know, who is the leader in receiving yards? And like, okay, no, I'm talking about leadership. So I got the answers. Going through these, you kind of see the problem kind of immediately. I'm going to list some of these replies. Kevin says, Jones, Cobb, Preston Smith, Jair Alexander, and the fifth spot is too hard right now. David says, Aaron Jones, Randall Cobb, David Bakhtiari, Mercedes Lewis, Kenny Clark. Nate says, Jones, Watson, I don't know if Christian Watson as a rookie can be a leader. I don't think that you can be a franchise leader as a rookie. Baby agrees with me here. Let's see here. Sean says, trick question. There isn't one. Yeah, baby agrees. Dan says, Jones, Bakhtiari, Alexander, Rogers, Gary. Again, I do think Rashawn Gary is a huge leader for the team, but he's also gone now. Shaky Guns, Aaron Jones, Bakhtiari, Cobb, Devondre Campbell, Rogers, in parentheses he wrote somewhat, but who really knows? Bruce says, can't believe no one is saying Mercedes Lewis, but I think he's number one. Bakhtiari, Cobb, and Campbell are definitely up there. Crosby probably rounds out my top five. Alrighty, time for you to go down for your nap. Say goodbye. Yeah. Tell you what, you take a nap, I'll record a podcast. All right, we'll be right back.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built for us.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Let's run through a couple more names. That I'm not going to go through like the top fives anymore because it's a lot of the same. Like everybody pretty much put Aaron Jones on here. Mercedes Lewis is pretty much always here. David Bakhtiari, frequent on here. Rashawn Gary. Here's a Lazard. Here's, Adrian Amos, Rasul Douglas, Devondre Campbell. Bob says Mercedes Lewis and Randall Cobb are all I can come up with. Rashawn Gary at number one for Austin. He left 2, 3, and 4 blank, and then he put number five is Rasul Douglas, parentheses, needs more time to get angrier. Mason Crosby, Elgton Jenkins. I don't know, man. What do you think? You think leadership is a problem? The fans can't come up with it. Out of curiosity, I went and talked to fan bases for quite a few other teams. I went on some message boards and I posed the same question to fans of the 49ers, fans of the Ravens. I was just looking for, who's winning, who's kind of perennially dominant or semi-dominant teams. Not that the 49ers are having, like, the best year ever, but you don't get the sense that, like, everything over there is just a complete and utter disaster from top to bottom. I even did, I did the Dolphins, did the Eagles, the Bills. I even did the Carolina Panthers because there's been a lot of hype around the idea that the Panthers shipped off Christian McCaffrey, who was one of their best players, and seemingly got better after he left. And the media likes to talk about how the Panthers have a culture that is improving. I just was curious what the answers were. Cam Irving, Shaq Thompson. Jeremy Chin, Brian Burns, Frankie Louvu, Cam Irving. Let's see, J.C. Horn, DJ. Everybody likes DJ. Looks like the general consensus is, though, that they don't have any, true, actual, dominant top dogs who really do command intense respect from the locker room. It kind of gets spoken about by the players and by the fans in a similar vein to how the Packers leaders are spoken about. That, like, oh yeah, no, you guys don't see it, but we all, we all know that this guy actually is a real leader. Okay, well, he's not really backing it up on the field. He's not, we don't see him holding guys to task on the sideline the way you do for a lot of teams, the way that, like, Peyton Manning did back in the day. the way Tom Brady does. Yeah, obviously Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are like the gold standard. And sure, I'm being a little silly probably in trying to demand that we have a Reggie White. He's once in a generation. But when the best you can come up with for who are the leaders of your team, when the best you can come up with is Mercedes Lewis, Randall Cobb, Mason Crosby, David Bakhtiari, who kind of hasn't really played in 2 years. Well, I guess that's not fair. He really only missed a year. He's been playing a lot this year. But my point is, like, the locker room does have a leadership issue. Can the coach be a factor in that? I think that a great coach does have a lot of influence with their leadership. You look at Mike Vrabel. No question, that man is the face of the Tennessee Titans franchise. Very charismatic leader. Clearly, he sets the tone for what he expects out of this team. No doubt about it. You look at guys over the last few years who probably were big locker room guys. Devondre last year clearly had a big impact. Adrian Amos, I think, has been a leader for a bunch of years. He's playing like garbage this year. Kind of hard to respect and look up to a guy and be afraid of him in the locker room if you're annoyed with him for giving up big plays. Adrian Amos leads the NFL in safeties in touchdowns given up by a safety. Not good. Aaron Rodgers has the sixth most fumbles in the NFL. He has 7 interceptions compared to 19 touchdowns. That's 2.71 touchdowns for every interception. It's not terrible, but it's certainly not up to his standard. And yes, I know he's playing through a broken thumb. I get it. But if you are looking for a guy to be the leader, you're looking for a guy like TJ Watt. The Steelers defense is one of the best in the NFL when TJ Watt is on the field. They're one of the worst in the NFL when he's not. He's absolutely instrumental in that team's success. But we saw Aaron Rodgers absolutely motivate and move this team against the Dallas Cowboys. Aaron Rodgers desperately wanted to beat Mike McCarthy. He wanted to beat the Cowboys. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Rodgers is he's either 9-1 or 10-1 against the Cowboys. I think he was 9-1 going into that game. He's 10-1 against the Cowboys in his career. He loathes the Cowboys. He plays quite well against them. I think one of the reasons why he struggles against the 49ers is because I think he does have a bit of a complex about them. He was a big fan growing up. They passed on him. I think he always has had some resentment towards them, but also I would imagine, I think it would be hard not to have some feelings of inferiority when you think about this team that passed on you. This team that has, you know, whipped you up and down the field a couple times now. I think going into that game, he probably does have some insecurities about the 49ers. He doesn't play well against them. And when Charles Woodson was on this team, it made a big difference. Charles Woodson was definitely the kind of guy that you were afraid of in the locker room. And I'm not saying that we need somebody on this team to just be a psychopath and terrify everybody, but you should be terrified to let somebody on the team down. There should be a guy or two on the team who's going to hold you to a standard and demand the best from you. You know, Robert Tonyan tells a story about David Bakhtiari a couple of years ago. This was at, it was either a Thanksgiving party or a Christmas party. I think it was a Thanksgiving party. Fitting for this week. And the guys were all hanging around the table. They were joking and having a good time. And all of a sudden, Bakhtiari turns to Tonyan and just quietly tells him, "Hey, you are letting us down on the field. You're not playing up to your ability. You're a liability for us." Huge. I think Bakhtiari does have some of that gravitas that is needed to lead the team. He certainly has demonstrated it at times in the past. Adrian Amos, I think, has demonstrated that. We know that Za'Darius did, for sure. I think that Za'Darius got really weird and goofy toward the end. I don't know everything that was going on in the locker room, but he was acting like a nut. Everybody outside the program could see it. The teammates of his didn't vote him as a captain because they didn't really feel like he was deserving of being a captain. A lot of people are trying to point to Jair as like a leader for this team. I don't get it, man. I don't. I don't think that he's that caliber of leader. I think he's a good player, for sure. I'm sure there are players on this team who respect him. You know, but a lot of when he talks about his feelings about the team, it sounds a lot like Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's talking about like inspiring himself and talking about, yeah, well, other guys just are not on my level. They don't care the way I care. Do you think that that means that he's holding them accountable in the locker room? With the way the secondary is playing, I can't imagine Jair is holding his teammates accountable. If he was, they'd be playing better. They're not playing well. The corners are playing down. The safeties are horrific, bottom of the barrel, putrid, terrible football players. And nobody is getting in their face and demanding excellence of them. And I think that really is the difference. I think the team is disillusioned. I think they don't have the leadership that they need from a player standpoint. There have been guys that were brought in this year that have turned around special teams. Rudy Ford, Dallin Leavitt, both come to mind. Keyshawn Nixon. You know, these were guys that Rich Bisaccia really liked because of their caliber of play, because of how much he trusted them, because of their leadership. He talked about that specifically with Rudy, with Dallin Leavitt. And I think it's made a big difference. Special teams plays better. They wrap up and tackle better. Now, they're still committing penalties at a really high rate. That's massive. I think that they need to be held to a higher standard than that with all these stupid penalties. I don't think the culture is good in Green Bay right now. There's players who will disagree with that. You know, and Aaron Rodgers will talk about a really good week of practice. But we can't ignore some of these signs. Why did Davante Adams demand a trade? He flat out refused to come back. We know he was one of the leaders who was holding guys accountable and responsible in the locker room on offense. We know that. He said, I'm done. I'm out of here. We don't know why. I'm not sure I want to know why. I'm not sure I want Davante to come out and tell us exactly what his beef was. But it wasn't just that he wanted to play with his friend. He also wanted out of Green Bay. You know, the way that the relationship was handled with him clearly was a problem. He was frustrated with how the contract talks went, but that's not a reason to leave. Just because some upper-level management that you never interact with isn't working quickly enough to give you a financial offer that is good enough for you, that's not a reason to leave. And they did, in the end, offer him more money than the Raiders paid him. He wanted out of the locker room. I don't know what his relationship was like with the coaches. I don't know what his relationship was like with Aaron at the end. That's not for us to know. They keep that quiet. They don't talk about it in any kind of negative light publicly. I'm not going to speculate that his relationship with Aaron was bad. I don't have any reason to think it was bad. But I know that there was something about this team that Davante wanted no part of anymore. And he's not the only example. He's not. This Za'Darius thing has been, it was bonkers from, you know, the beginning of the 2021 season. Za'Darius was acting like a nutcase. Just being weird. His teammates didn't want to talk about him. What the heck is up with that captain chain he ordered? Like, that's psychotic behavior. He goes to Minnesota. I'm not saying that it's the Packers that were the problem and that Za'Darius really was normal and nice all along, but they sure like him in Minnesota. We liked him for a couple of years here in Green Bay. Things got weird. And things got weird with Davante. which is a shame. And I was in favor of moving on from Devontae because I didn't want to pay him that much money because I didn't want the team to be unable to have a good enough roster. I didn't want to squander the future. I think I would rather have Devontae here because we did all that anyways. We spent all the money. We're still in a bad cap situation. We still don't have the talent across the board that we really need. I got a lot of questions and frustrations about the Packers right now. I do. You've never heard me talk about the Packers with this much frustration and angst before. Because in the past, I've had a lot of confidence in the leadership of the team from the top down. I really have. But I don't like the way that they are not putting together contingency plans, the way they can't seem to adapt. You know, Chris Jackie was talking about how we have the worst halftime adjustments, like, ever. And nobody can disagree. Second half is almost always worse for us than the first half. It's one of the many things that has me questioning Matt LaFleur. I like Matt LaFleur a lot. I really do. I do have one really big concern with him. And that is the way he hires coaches. His first coaching staff was great. There were a couple problems with it. The wide receivers coach, drawing a blank on his name right now. I've said it 80 times. Alvis Whitted. He sucked. They shipped him off after 1 year, replaced him with Jason Vrabel, who I think has done a pretty good job. I think the wide receivers have largely overperformed their talent level ever since Vrabel got here. But since then, Matt LaFleur just keeps hiring his buddies or just guys that he knows. You know, Jerry Gray, I thought, was a really cool hire. And I think most of us like Jerry Gray, despite the fact that the secondary has kind of always underperformed since he got here. Now, he did get the best year ever out of Jair in 2020, no doubt about that. But the safeties have been kind of a problem since he got here. We had, obviously, huge issues with Kevin King, big issues with Eric Stokes. I think we're ignoring issues with Rasul Douglas's play. I think Rasul is a good player. But, I mean, the secondary as a whole is a mess. And Jair is not having a good year. I didn't think he had a particularly good year last year. I'm not doubting the caliber of player that he is, but the results that we're getting out of all these guys, I mean, come on. And the defense is a mess. Joe Barry should not have gotten a second year when you are 22nd in the league in DVOA with the talent we have on this roster. That's ridiculous and absurd. Sean Menenga was a horrible hire for special teams coordinator. Mo Drayton. Actually, before I get to Mo Drayton, Sean Menenga should not have gotten a second year. Matt LaFleur is way too lenient with guys who are clearly in over his head, over their head. Mo Drayton was a horrific disaster hire that I called out as an idiotic move before it happened. We all had big problems with Mike Pettine coming back for the 2020 season. Now, with all these guys, not the special teams coaches, but with Joe Barry, with Mike Pettine, I'm way more lenient. All right, I'm giving them a lot more chances. I'm frequently saying, like, yeah, you know what? I do like Joe Barry. I do like Mike Pettine. I think they can get things turned around. And I'm wrong when I say that. Matt LaFleur needs to be smarter than me. That's for sure. You don't want me making these decisions and saying, yeah, you know what? Let's give Mike Pettine another year. I really have problems with the way that Matt LaFleur hires coaches, and I don't have confidence in him to pick a defensive coordinator for 2023 that can get the job done. He's 0-2 on defensive coordinators. And I think that, you know, we're on his third special teams coordinator, and obviously there were special circumstances around the Rich Bisaccia hire, but okay, let's fine. Let's lump that one in and just call it a win. You're still 1-2 in special teams coordinators. I don't have confidence in him to hire the right guy. I think coming into this season, there was a lot of reason to expect the Packers to have a really slow start. I said it would probably take him a good 5 games to really get the offense going. Reasons for that? Well, obviously the wide receiver turnover. Obviously the offensive line shuffling. Obviously all of the new pieces to the offensive coaching staff that you had to shuffle around. But it's getting worse, not better. Because they had a slow start, which I think we all should have expected, and I did expect it. But I did not expect the team to respond to adversity in the way that they did, which was to crumple and fold. And Robert Tonyan told us after the 49ers lost last year that this is how they respond to adversity, that they, even when they have 13 wins, they don't believe in themselves, that they just think that they're a bunch of losers. Well, you start losing to some not great teams. You know, you go have an overtime win over a third-string quarterback for the Patriots. You lose confidence in yourself. You lose to the Giants. You lose even more confidence to yourself. And then you can't win anymore because you don't believe you can win, because you don't believe in yourself. You don't believe in your teammates. You're not playing for your teammates. That's all this is. That's all that it is. They faced some adversity early on in the season. They came in with a roster that wasn't quite good enough, but they should have been able to overcome. They had issues on offense that, yeah, the offense had a slow start, as we all expected. But then they folded like a lawn chair. They didn't respond to adversity. They didn't play for each other. Add in a coaching staff that has some real issues. A defensive coordinator that just calls a mess week after week after week and constantly gets below expectations play from really dominant players. Now, if you're trying to list Kenny Clark as a guy who's supposed to be a leader for this team, the dude has been playing like garbage. So I don't know who would listen to him. Yeah, the roster has issues, but they should be able to overcome this. They should. And if they had good leadership in the locker room, and if they played for each other, and if they had guys holding each other accountable, I think that they would respond to this kind of adversity and play through it. The Lions are on a 3-game winning streak. The Lions have not won 3 games in the last 5 years, not 3 consecutive games. The Packers came out and played one really good game against the Cowboys because Aaron Rodgers was so motivated to beat the Cowboys. He played his heart out. He had a fantastic game. He's throwing through a broken thumb, and he is out there throwing a shoulder to block Micah Parsons to get an extra yard for Aaron Jones. I mean, he laid it all out there. He wanted that win so desperately. And then 4-5 days later, you see what happens when you don't have a guy like Aaron Rodgers out there leading by example and demanding the best of everybody around you, because you need that win so badly because you are not going to lose to Mike McCarthy. The second that that motivation is gone, the team goes right back to their old tricks. And I don't think that Matt LaFleur is a good enough leader to pull this team out of a slump. I think that he does a really good job game planning a lot of the time. I have more questions this year than I usually do about his ability to game plan. Maybe he's too distracted with trying to solve all these issues with the team. I don't think he's getting the job done. I'm not calling for Matt LaFleur to be fired. I am saying that the job he's doing is insufficient right now. And he needs to be better. And I think that going forward, we should have some more veterans. I think we should bring in some more guys who are just really dominant, respected leaders. I think it's great that we have Rashawn. I think that a guy like Randall Cobb is a benefit to the team. I think you need more of that. I think you need more guys who are respected. You know, I don't know if Julio Jones was going to make any kind of a difference. But I think Julio would command more respect than Sammy Watkins has commanded. Now, I don't know what they're going to do for 2023. I really don't. I think that there's a lot that needs to be fixed. I think that trying to just bring everybody back and run it back again with just some more little minor changes here or there, or you know, it's not going to do anything. And this whole pie in the sky, maybe we can trade and get Devontae back here. Okay, give me a break. If you did that, you're not fixing anything. I'm not going to quit watching the Packers. I love the Packers. I love watching them. Even when they stink, I'm still going to turn the game on and watch it. But if they don't have a plan for the future, I'm not going to spend this ungodly amount of time every week recording two podcasts about them. I'm just going to sit in my chair and just watch them passively as a fan. They're not doing enough right now as a team, you know, playing for each other to be worth my time recording two podcasts a week about them, game previewing for them. I mean, it is really frustrating to put a lot of time into scouting the upcoming opponent and figuring out how you attack them, laying out a winning formula on a podcast for here's how you dismantle the Dallas Cowboys, for example, or here's how you dismantle the Detroit Lions. And then the Packers just go out there and just don't do anything. It's exhausting. I'm going to be honest. I actually have not given up on the Packers season at this point. The NFL is still so garbage that the Packers could still, obviously, put it together and go on a run and get into the playoffs. And if they did that, then I think that they are playing well enough that they should be expected to actually make some noise in the playoffs. I really have not given up on the season. I think any moment they could turn it around and start playing better. But I don't think that's coming unless and until guys on the team take ownership and start demanding excellence of their teammates. So my big question is, do we have anybody on the roster who is capable of that? I think that Rashawn should have been that when he was healthy, but he's no longer healthy. And, you know, you can love Rashawn all you want, but if he's not out there on the field, then he can't be leading on the field. In 2022, the guy is not Rashawn. Going forward, I absolutely think Rashawn Gary is going to be the face of the franchise the second Aaron Rodgers retires or whatever happens to end his tenure here in Green Bay. The second he's done, Rashawn is the face of the franchise. No question about it. I love Rashawn. Just saying in 2022, he's not on the field. He can't lead on the field because he's not there. And I don't know who is out there that can do that. Maybe it's Devondre. Maybe Preston finds it within himself. You know, maybe it is a guy like Jair or Bakhtiari or maybe it is rookie Christian Watson. It should be Aaron Rodgers. And we saw against the Cowboys that he is capable of doing that for a game. I don't know why he's not doing it for the rest of the season. You know, he says, I'm not a rah-rah guy. That's not my leadership style. Well, man, your leadership style right now is not getting the best out of your teammates. I get that you got a broken thumb. Yeah, I get frustrated with you sometimes when you don't see a wide open guy or when you throw an inaccurate pass. But the biggest thing that you can do for this team is elevate the guys around you. Demand the best of them. Change your leadership style to actually get results from your teammates. They're looking for a leader, and they don't have one right now. It's not coming from the coaches. It's not coming from the quarterback. It's not coming from any of the other veteran players. This is what is missing. And the Packers are going to continue to suck unless and until somebody on the roster motivates and inspires and moves the guys around him. Maybe we don't have that guy. If we don't, then that needs to be priority 1A going forward, is figure out how to stock this roster with leaders. I love that we have guys who are talented football players, but they're not playing their best. They are not showing up and giving their all when the chips are down, and they are certainly not demanding that of their teammates. I just think that the culture in Green Bay is broken right now, and it's going to have to be fixed. So it's going to have to come from the guys who are there, or the guys who are there are going to have to leave, and we're going to have to get new guys who can bring about a culture change. That's all there is to it. I love these guys as much as you do, but they're not playing up to their potential, and that's a leadership problem.